Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome. Good to have you all with us today. Before we jump into our day in history and into our conversation about the butler, I want to take a moment to remember someone who passed away. Tashima Walker Israel died. She was an amazing young woman, only 44 years old when she passed from colon cancer. She was the executive producer of Tell Me More. She worked on numerous other programs, News and Notes, Tavis Smiley Show. She was brilliant. She was a woman who was full of life. She was quick to laugh, quick to make you laugh. She was a brilliant producer. We weren't that close. We only met a few times, but people say she was the kind of woman who was a friend, who was always there for you, and she left the planet much too early. Mm-hmm. And so our condolences go out to her family, to all the colleagues and our friends at Tell Me More, and to everyone. This young woman with her beautiful smile and her beautiful head of dreads and everything else and the soul that she had left us much too early. So early today I wrote a note to Michelle Martin and others at Tell Me More, and we should all kind of write to them, I think, on their Facebook page and remember Tashima Walker as well, who's just a lovely young woman in her passing. So I want to remember her, start the show out like that. And then let's look at this day in history. This day in history, August the 20th. What happened on this day in history? We'll give you a few of the births, not all of them. H.P. Lovecraft, interesting writer, was born on this day in 1890. Ron Paul, the libertarian congressman, was born on this day in 1935. If he would have had his way, he would have undone the Civil Rights Act, as he and his son had said. Milosevic was born on this day in 1941, died in 2006, and on this day in 1942, and we'll be hearing a lot of him during the course of this hour, Isaac Hayes was born.
All right now. Right.
Passed away 2008, and Isaac Hayes was born on this day in 1942. Had a huge impact on music. Everybody just loved his song.
Black Moses.
That was the album. That was the album.
Hot Butter Soul, too.
Hot Butter Soul.
You got that, Stephanie? You're pulling those things up now? Hot Butter Soul. Can't do without that. So this is the day in 1951. Happy birthday, Mohamed Morsi, wherever you may be hiding in Egypt. This is your birthday. This is his birthday today. Oh, wow. This is also the birthday of 1965. KRS-One was born on this day. Happy birthday to you as well. Phyllis Diller died on this day in 2012, as did, this is a very important one, Jonathan Merrick Daniels was an Episcopal minister who was killed in 1965 in Alabama. He was a civil rights worker. He was white. He was arrested when they were demonstrating and sitting in, put in jail, and when he came out of jail, he was released with all the other people and was walking down the road to get food at the only place that you could get food, that black folks could get food. And he was walking down. He and another person who were arrested, I want to get one name, but I'm looking it up as we talk, were arrested getting this food. And he was walking with two black women who were arrested with him. And on that day, he was confronted by this man who was a state worker from Alabama, a man named Coleman, who had a shotgun, pointed it at the black woman. He stepped in front of the black woman, pushed her back behind him to try to stop him from shooting. Coleman shot him in the chest. He died. Coleman was not convicted of manslaughter and died peacefully in his sleep in 1986. So we want to remember the likes of Jonathan Merrick Daniels, one of the many people, black and white men and women, who gave their lives in the civil rights movement. And he died on this day. Let me go very quickly through these things because some of them are very important. This was a day in 1619 that the first Africans were brought to the shores of what is now the United States of America, to Jamestown, Maryland. A number of those Africans became slaves in the state of Maryland, were sold to plantations here in this state. This is a very important day that we should begin thinking about as this anniversary comes up. In 2019. This was the day in 1830 that Richard Allen, who founded the African Methodist Episcopal Church in 1816, chaired the first National Negro Convention, which was a convention that lasted from 1830 to 1864 and was an organization of free blacks in the North who were fighting to end slavery. People who had their own agency. It was not a white abolitionist movement. It was a black movement fighting against slavery in this country, was founded with Richard Allen and many others, the National Negro Convention. This is also the day in 1858 that Charles Darwin published his theory of evolution. People may not like it, but Charles Darwin did it. I happen to like it. This was the day that Andrew Johnson in 1866 said the Civil War was over. He was a little late, but he was always a little bit late. 1882 that Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture debuted in Moscow. And this was also the day in 1920, the first commercial radio station, WWJ now, was 8MK then, began operations in Detroit, Michigan. 1920, the beginning of our industry. This was the day that Leon Trotsky was hit in the head with an axe and murdered. He died the next day in 1940 in Mexico City. Leon Trotsky, one of America's great revolutionaries, who was murdered on this day in Mexico City. A great novel called Lacuna is one you should read to get a feel for that. This was the day in 1960 that Senegal broke with the Mali fellow from Mali and declared its own independence. This is the day that the Iraq-Iran war ended in 1988. After 8 years of vicious fighting between Iraq and Iran, this war ended. And this was when Saddam Hussein was America's lover.
That's right.
When we supported him in the war against Iran. Let's not forget that. All of a sudden, we loved him. Rumsfeld and others with smiling pictures standing next to him, and before he became the anathema and one to be hated in a war that we still can't figure out why it even started. This was the day that the Soviet Union dissolved with the August coup. This was also the day that Oslo Accords were signed in Norway in 1993 that have led to what? Not much. Palestinians are still losing their land in the Holy Land. And this is the day in 1998 that U.S. embassy bombings took place, that the United States launched cruise missiles attacks against alleged al-Qaeda camps in Afghanistan and a chemical plant, which turned out not to be a chemical plant, but a fertilizer plant in Sudan, in retaliation for the August 7th bombings of the American embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. And this was our day in history, August the 20th. Now we're going to turn our attention to the program for this hour, which is looking at the movie The Butler that opened Friday. It was the largest grossing movie of the weekend, $25 million. And some would say that's significant since it was an all-black cast, black director, many black producers and African-American money in this film as well. But it caused a lot of controversy as well in terms of what the message was, what it said, what it left out, what was in it, and more. So we're going to go wrestle with that this hour. I want you to join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. We already have one email in. Tweet us at Mark Steiner, or you can get on our Facebook pages and load on there. We are joined today by the co-hosts of the Baltimore Blend are with us in the studio, Carla Wills and Robert Shaheed. We had a roaring conversation before during Baltimore Blend. They're both here.
Good to have you. Good morning. Good to be here.
Dr. Raymond Winbush is with us, director of the Institute for Urban Research here at Morgan State University. And Ray, good to have you back in the studio.
Hey, Matt.
And we'll be joined shortly by Jamila King, news editor for ColinLyons.com. 410-319-8888 is the number. Very quickly, we're already like 18 minutes in. I apologize. It was a long day in history. But, Ray, very quickly, you met the parents of Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, this weekend.
Yeah. Give us, because what you said when you came through the door, I'd like you to share with our listeners just your kind of emotional, visceral feeling of meeting these two people.
Well, I was on a panel with Ben Crump and met Trayvon's mother, Sabrina Fulton, in Phoenix, Arizona. They're making a tour of the United States dealing with stand your ground laws, asked me to participate on the issue of youth violence in the black community. So we had a wonderful time. I feel like I learned more than I gave, and just was so impacted by the strength of Sabrina Fulton, particularly in light of, as she said, the three tragedies that she had to go through, the death of her son, the trying to get George Zimmerman arrested, and now this, you know, unholy verdict. So it was a wonderful time, very spiritual, but very meaningful, and also very political.
And we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks, and we hope we'll be talking with both of them over the weekend and bringing that conversation to you next week here on the Mark Steiner Show. But it's interesting. Here we have this. We're in the midst of Trayvon Martin's murder, Zimmerman's trial, the 50th anniversary of the march coming up, and this movie explodes onto the screen.
Mm-hmm.
in a very interesting juxtaposition at the moment. So I'm curious. I walked into this movie really preparing not to like what I saw. Okay. Completely. But I walked out in a very complex way in a very different mindset. And I'm curious, all three of you have seen it. Where do we want to, who wants to begin?
Well, I would like to start out by saying that so often we, because of the big deficit in the education system for black history, in its total perspective, from the black experience, there's such a deficit that many of us go to the theater thinking we're going to get our whole history explained to us and depicted in one movie. The Butler didn't do that. But having said that, what a great movie. I mean, the acting was superb. From my standpoint, I give it a 10. It's kind of difficult to take the entire black experience from slavery to the election of Obama, and we'll talk, I know, a little bit more about that, all in a two-hour movie. And that's what I think they attempted to do. So at best, having enjoyed the movie, I think that I think its biggest advantage to me was that if you bring some young people into the movie that has only been studying Martin Luther King or a few African-American heroes in their history classes and have no knowledge of the Black Panther movement, no knowledge of what it was like on the slave plantation. We just talked about Trayvon Martin. And the movie starts out depicting something that might have happened in the 16th century, 18th century, about a black man just being shot in the field, and nobody does anything about it. And this happens right here in 2013. So there's a lot of significance in these scenes. So I'm saying we're not trying to get our whole history from the movie The Butler. But it certainly was a good acting experience, and it certainly was a nice way of giving a total snapshot of the sequences of our history.
Well, I agree with you on one point.
Oh, did I?
I agree with you on one point. The acting was really, in many cases, the acting was really, really great. But my problem with the movie is exactly what you said. You can't get a full version of our history in a two-hour movie. The problem is that this movie tried. And when you try to do something like that, you're going to fail. And it did not work. I mean, this weird flyover, cursory, you know, quick romp through African-American history from 1920 or whatever when it started to the present was just it was just, you know, pablum. It was history light. It was the Reader's Digest version. It was light on substance, and it just felt it felt forced in many places. It was insufficient, and I just felt that if they came with a real clear point of view, that's what I feel was lacking in this movie. Even forget all of, you know, what was there. I think on a artistic, from an artistic perspective, the movie lacked a point of view. And running through history is not a point of view. Looking at a figure, you know, or even taking some dramatic license with the person who inspired the Butler, you know, looking at his, you know, path and his family relationships, that's not a point of view. The point of view was missing here. And, you know, I could come with one, and we could talk about it. But I think they lost an opportunity here.
Well, I'm going to pile on as well because, you know, I felt like when I went to the movie, Mark, really expecting a good movie and came out the exact opposite, very similar to you, Carla. I felt like it was a movie that should have been on the Lifetime Network. Mm-hmm. I didn't think the acting was good, but that's me. I thought it was miscast. I mean, with all due respect to the sister, but I thought that Oprah was too old for the role that she played as a young person. The other thing I had, ideologically speaking, and I agree with you, Carla, that I think it was too much in a less than a two-hour film. It sounded like it was telling me that, and the audience, that the so-called kind of like one person called the Forrest Gump character, his son, who kind of appeared all over the place in Martin Luther King the night before he was assassinated. He was at Fisk where I used to teach. He was a Black Panther. That it was either you were a black nationalist or you were an integrationist, and that those things were opposing views of Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, you know, dichotomy. I didn't like the movie. I mean, I'm a faculty, and I grade things, and I gave it like a C minus or a D plus.
I have to chime in.
I'm
now.
Not as far down the spectrum.
I'll hold my tongue for a minute. Folks, join us at 410-319-8888. We want to hear your thoughts. Please.
I can respect those opinions of all of us here, but I have to tell you, what are we expecting from Hollywood in the first place? I mean,
nothing.
It's entertainment. It's supposed to be entertainment, and what it did do is what it's doing in this room. I think it stimulates the discussion of all that it missed and all that it included.
Yeah.
It just touched on Malcolm X. I happen to be an avid student of Malcolm X, and he was mentioned maybe 5 seconds out of the film.
That's right.
But the impact of him being mentioned in that context and having the Panthers represented there is enough to stimulate some discussion these days in 2013 among people who don't discuss that topic anymore. For some reason.
Well, I felt like if the movie audiences were more proactive, maybe I could understand your point. The problem is they will go to this movie, people will see it and feel like they got the history, that they learned something. And just like you started out by saying that there's such a deficit in our, you know, school system, people aren't learning this. And where I have a problem with the movie is that if you felt like you really got this great romp through history, oh, I didn't know about the Black Panthers. Oh, I didn't know about, you know, some of the struggles of the kids on the front line in the civil rights movement. Did that really happen? You know, so you see all of this and you see the challenges, and then you see this arc of history and how now we got this black man in the White House, and look how far we've come, and boom, it's over. How nice. And so you walk away thinking, oh, this is great. And so look at what we've achieved and where we are, and it's all good. And what I'm saying was lacking is that, you know, just as the movie where it kind of did a back and forth between the son and his mm-hmm. Involvement in the movement, and then juxtaposing it with the his father in the White House as serving as the butler, and they did that, why not have a similar thread where you're looking at where, you know, we are now, you know, as it progressed forward? I mean, now, you told me,
Mark, I have to.
Wait, let me just finish this one point. You started out by saying that Trayvon Martin's parents are on this speaking tour, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. in the movie. I don't know if you remember, early on, they talked about Mamie Till yep. on a speaking tour, yep. and she's touring. That's you know, right. Look at where we are. And what was lost in that movie is that we are still right there. We still got another grieving parent on a speaking tour, okay. you know, because of her son who was tragically lost.
Just in the interest of time, Robert, I want to get, because I know you only have to like 10 of.
I'm just trying to say that I'm coming back. What do we expect this movie to do? I think really, take the perspective of my parents. If my mother was to watch this movie, having lived through every bit of that history, having her father live on a plantation and actually pick the cotton. For her to see the movie, she's not going to think about all that it missed in the way that you do or the way that I do. I don't defer, but she's going to think about it and say, finally, the story that has not been told to the whole public is somewhere in the airwaves. It's on the movies. It's in the movies, and others are seeing what I have experienced. I'm speaking on behalf of what my parents might have said or my mother would say, and the tears will roll from her eyes, and she'll say, wow, my story is being told, and people are going to come and ask me, was it really like this? And that is the stimulus. Now she'll get a chance to be asked the questions that she wasn't asked, and then we'll get the meat of the story. When I was in the theater, mm-hmm. a little boy asked his father as we went out, he said, was there really a Black Panther Party? And then the discussion took place. Now, I didn't hear the rest of the discussion, but what happened was, finally, people are saying something has stimulated the thought, and the story can be embellished. The story can, not embellished, but it could be explained. It could be talked about like we're doing now. Without that kind of stimulus, without that catalyst, without that movie, we would not be on the air talking about that.
Muddy water will keep you alive in the middle of a desert, but that doesn't mean that it's the best water. And I mean, a film that made me, shows that Hollywood can get it right, is Fruitvale Station, which mm-hmm. just came out a few months ago. The other thing is Lee Daniels himself, and I'm going to get, you know, very briefly. Lee Daniels has made two horror movies prior to this one, and that was Precious and Monsters Ball. And, you know, I don't think Lee Daniels can get the black family correct. I mean, first of all, that opening scene, and for those of you that have seen, this is a spoiler alert, so turn your radio
don't
down.
Don't spoil too much.
Yeah. But for the opening scene, it showed absolute black passivity, you know, which was more infrequent than frequent. He allows a man to rape his wife, doesn't really even protest it, and then he gets his, you know, dome shot off.
His son asks him to protest.
Well, yeah, but see, it's like this passivity, which kind of is the thread through the movie, even with the butler. You know, he hears Lyndon Johnson, you know, say nigger over and over and over, and he doesn't say anything about it. It's Lee Daniels in part that I fault for the movie. Another thing is his portrayal of women in that movie. Think about it. Oprah in a dysfunctional marriage. Mariah Carey, did she say anything in the movie? I don't think she uttered a word.
She mumbled. She had mental issues,
you know. Yeah. But the portrayal of women in the movie, once again, in Lee Daniels' films, is absolutely horrible.
So I disagree on that point.
Okay.
I enjoyed the richness of the women in this movie, the depth of the characters. And I think Oprah was awesome. I really thought she really brought a lot of strength
best
and nuance
was
to
in this.
Yeah, I think she brought a lot of nuance to this character. And I think Lee Daniels, the strengths of this movie were in the home, were in the relationships between black people with each other.
Sure.
You know, the father and the son, the husbands and wives, the neighbors and the community,
the uncles attempting to sleep with Terrence Howard, sleeping with Oprah.
Yeah, the quote-unquote uncles, because, you know, we all have play uncles and play cousins. And that aspect of black life was captured really beautifully, and it almost felt like it wasn't scripted. You know, when they're all kind of in the house together and chatting and having dinner and talking and all, that's where it felt most natural. And I'd like to think that probably Lee Daniels probably had more to do with that, because my issue, one, is with Lee Daniels, but it's also with Danny Strong, who is the screenwriter here.
Yeah.
He had no business. I mean, when you throw a line in there like, you know, I brought you into this world, I take you out.
That's an old Cosby line.
My daughter, who saw this movie, she turned to me and she's like, they need to retire this line. It felt ridiculous.
We know this is a common line. It comes from every black African-American family. But the point is if you have a movie that you think is going to have a broader and bigger impact on the society than all the ones that have come before it, you're going to throw that in there so that it will be a part.
It's cliched.
It's cliched, but we have to take a break.
Oh,
we'll come right back. And folks, did you see the movie over the weekend, last few days? 410-319-8888. Don't let my guest scare you off. You can join the conversation. 410-319-8888. Join us here. Your thoughts on The Butler. We really want to hear them. We'll be right back.
I just can't help myself. I think about how tight we used to be. I'll break down and cry.
Who's the Black Friday dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks? You're damn right.
Man that would risk his neck for his brother, man. Isaac Hayes, Shaft. Talk about a movie that caused controversy in its day, Shaft.
That's who we needed in this movie.
That's right.
We're talking about The Butler here with Dr. Raymond Winbush, director of the Institute for Urban Research here at Morgan State University, and Carla Wills and Robert Shahid, who are, of course, co-hosts of WEAA's Baltimore Blend. 410-319-8888. A lot of people are calling in. People are writing in. SteinerShow@gmail.com. Let me go to the phones and come back to our guests. Is that all right? 410-319-8888. Doug, you're on the air.
Thanks, Mark. I just wanted to add a slightly different perspective. I agree with the guests who are very critical of the movie. I personally left the movie not just disappointed, but really agitated at the shallowness of what was presented. And I almost couldn't get the words out because I was with two people. And that's the point I really want to make here. I was with a young person, a 20-year-old, not a member of my family, and I was with somebody who was a foreign-born person, neither of whom had hardly any information about the history of this country, and they were both really taken by what was presented. It was all new to them. And as somebody who teaches at a graduate school level, I'm always aware of how much history is missing from our students. So I sort of changed my perspective. My first comment was, I think that white audiences are really going to like this movie because it's kind of like a feel-good movie. It comes out looking like things have gotten so much better, which I really is quite tiresome to me. But from an educational point of view, I would give it slightly more than that C-minus or D-plus because of what I believe it can do to open other people's minds and interests in learning so much more about the grotesque history of our country.
It was the help for black men.
Some people say that's the Washington.
It was the help for black men. No. Look, I'm going to say this real quick. I saw the movie on a sneak preview. I won't mention the theater. When I was leaving the audience, the white folks were saying all over the place, oh, what a great movie. Then I went to the restroom. Brothers all in the bathroom, just lucky. And I said, what y'all think of the movie? One brother said, it's all right. And that's what I felt about it. It's all right.
And I'll add, my daughter, who's 24, and you know, just slightly older than the person that this caller went with, she when it got to toward the end of the movie, you saw the family reunion scene, mm-hmm. and they were wearing the Obama T-shirts, and it was, I guess, you know, still toward the end of the campaign.
Yeah.
And she turns to me and she says, if this movie is about to end here, I'm going to be really upset. And wow. That just speaks to someone who understands this history. And she's like, it's like they just slapped the Obama Band-Aid on it. Everything's good.
I had Obama issues with it as well.
I did, too.
However, let me say this about it.
It would have been a great campaign, pre-campaign.
Before we go to Mary Gresham, our next caller, so hold on, Mary, because she's enjoyed the film. And as a 71-year-old woman, she wants to talk about why. So hold on, Mary. But the way the movie began, we can argue about passivity, and we've had these discussions on the show before with people who have lived through their sharecropping days and how many people were passive because there was people were terrorized, other people stood
Absolutely.
Up, and they would have to leave town and never come back.
Yeah,
and
that's a survival tactic.
But the reality is, I was thinking about Shirley Sherrod when she was on the show. Mm-hmm. She talked about her father being shot dead in his field mm-hmm. by a white farmer mm-hmm. who never went to jail for killing her father. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that violence against black men, black people existed, opened the movie and said this was reality in our day, not in mm-hmm. some way, way gone past day. And the other part was, you know, I was thinking about the Obama thing, which bothered me. The one thing that was true, though, that I had this argument with somebody else, was that at the moment of Obama's victory, no matter what people's politics were, especially in the black community, mm-hmm. my experience the night of the election, was everybody was in tears. That was real. The idea of ending it with Obama was a problem. I mean, that's a problem.
Yes.
That's Lee Daniels. That's Lee Daniels.
That's Lee Daniels. That's the Hollywood Daniels. Machine.
That's the problem.
And that's the problem.
I think that's why the movie was
And we
was complex.
Should recognize that it is a Hollywood machine and not look for it to tell the entire story.
But that's the problem, because if this is the one place where people are going to get so much of that history and understanding, to leave it there and wrap it up leaves the wrong impression. And it's dangerous.
Is with the school system. I want them to tell the accurate history just as fervently and completely as any other history that's told. And in the movies, I want to be entertained. Now, the movies are taking the place of our educational system, and we wanted to do everything that the schools
have
not done.
That's bad.
But we didn't make that condition. But at least it's stimulating our people to ask the question, our people meaning the total society, ask the question, is this really the history? Some people don't know that.
Folks, what do you think? 410-319-8888. And we didn't get into the whole spectrum of civil rights movement, what they did with that, and I'm going to talk about that for a bit, too. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Mary. Mary, you're on the air. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I concur with some of the things that your panelists are saying, and I sorely disagree with others. My impression of the film was it was an excellent film for people not being so learned as the people there are about their history. And it gave vignettes of every aspect of history from slavery to freedom. And yes, people would have stood in a field and not done anything for fear of losing their own lives. Have we read the histories of slavery? Have we read how this was a part of the keeping in line of the others? This incident at the beginning of the movie has happened, I'm sure, millions of times in our history. And I don't hear, as I read my history, I've never saw an uprising for every single hanging or every single shooting. There were no uprisings. Fear gripped those people, and they stood there. Occasionally, some had feelings about it, and others had feelings about it but did not express it at that particular time that the incident happened. Maybe they went to the cabinets and filmed and cried and discussed it among themselves, but their death would have occurred as well as the person whose death did occur at that time. We're not thinking about the real realities of the horrors of our history, okay? I read it, I understand it, and I think the film was excellent in the fact that those little vignettes of our history were told to help our children. Our children are so sorely lacking, and if you want to blame anybody, blame the educational system. Our children are so sorely lacking in the knowledge of their history, it is sad. Sometimes these kids and things that come out of their mouth about the history brings me to tears. I have seen kids laugh at slavery. That's a lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. And from that perspective, I think every child ought to see the film. At least it'll start him to thinking. Maybe make him pick up a book and lie to get more.
Mary Grisham, thank you so much for your thoughts. Let our panels respond.
Mary, I hear what you're saying, and I have to say that I agree with you. We're not wanting the movie to do everything for us, but we certainly wanted to stimulate the kind of response that you just gave us, and that is recognizing that, yes, this is quite a history that we've been through. And part of the triumph, and we talked about this Obama thing like it was a joke, and that's where the movie shouldn't end, but I took it as not necessarily Obama. The Obama ending was a triumphant ending from a horrible beginning. Now, it really isn't the ending because history goes on, but it did represent that as you depicted it in the field, the brother getting shot just for standing up for his woman, making an attempt to stand up. And then you see the election of a president in the same White House that the butler worked. This is a big change that has taken place. Now, is that the end and be all? No, it's not. But what it does represent is that there's a whole lot that has happened in that one span of time, and I think our caller expressed that.
Yeah, very quickly. You know, Hollywood prefers docility and passivity among black folk. Where is the film about Nat Turner? Where is the film about Denmark Vesey? Where is the film about Gabriel Prosser? You'll never see him. Danny Glover has been trying to make a film, and I know this on a personal level, of Toussaint L'Ouverture for almost 15 years and cannot get funding. One studio actually told him, and it's not an urban rumor, that there's no white heroes in the film. And so, you know, I'm not trying, I've never said, I mean, read Runaway Slaves by John O. Franklin. There is no such thing. I'm not saying that there was not passivity, but the way Hollywood just portrays it and pushes it down our throat, it's almost like all Africans that were enslaved were happy, docile, and never did anything bad.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I'm not one of those guys that doesn't come from that kind of a revolutionary past. Yeah. I actually do. But I will tell you what, as long as I'm going to wait for Hollywood to produce a movie about my history, then I have to accept what Hollywood produced. Now, if I really want to project what you did and get the real story, yeah, I'm going to put my money behind. I'm waiting for Ray Lewis or somebody to put some money behind Spike Lee. And let's put the one out we want. And until we don't do that, Hollywood has put out.
But I don't think we have to accept it. And this is what, you know, or if we have to, you know, you can see it, but you can still have a stronger opinion about it. And I just think it fell short, and we should call it out where it falls short. I mean, to start with a scene where a black man is shot dead, you know, for standing up in the field and doing, you know, trying to protect his family or whatever, and act like that's gone away when we clearly just, you know, had a young black man shot in the street.
I think that's what the movie was saying.
It didn't say that at all. No.
That's what I got from
it. It did not say that at all, and that's my real issue with this movie. It said nothing about
that. Well, one thing I can
say, Mark. The last struggle in this movie was apartheid.
Did you like
in the mid-'80s, you know, the sun is out in front of the South African embassy. He's protesting. That the one good part of this movie, that father-son relationship, the struggle and the tension between them. He shows up and supports his son, and that's the last struggle.
I have to jump in, so we have a full bank of callers.
I'm sure we do.
Listen, we're getting here for a minute. 410-319-8888. We're going to get to two callers in a row and try to get as many as we can in here before Ray has to run out the door. So I know he's got to.
Staff meeting.
School's about to open. 410-319-8888. Bishop Morgan, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to touch bases with you. I had an opportunity to listen to the interview, and I fully agree with you, Mark Steiner, and having graduated from Morgan State University back in the 80s, and understanding poetic license and what's the entitlement of authors and producers. I've not yet seen the movie, but I'm encouraged to go and also take a group of my young parishioners so that they can get an opportunity to at least view and observe what the movie seeks to portray. From listening to you, Mark Steiner, it seems as if it's doing exactly what it's doing, stimulating and at least provoking individuals to research and investigate what our history might have produced for us. The only concern that I had with those panelists is that their critical analysis of it is just somewhat demeaning. While they may not attempt to do it in that manner, but it seems to be a little bit demeaning as opposed to eye-opening or at least supporting that individual who has reached the pinnacle of success in society, where he's able to produce a theatrical presentation. He has a license to create any thought that comes out of his venue, out of his experiences, to produce enlightenment for everyone.
Bishop, yeah. Let me get another caller in here. And then our guests have a go-round here again. Because Ray, you have to run out the door, don't you?
Yeah. I want to say one more thing before we leave. Okay. Let's get a call.
Queenie, you're on the air. Let's go to line one and Queenie.
Hi.
Hi, Queenie. Welcome.
Good morning. I've enjoyed the conversation. And I just wanted to say that I believe that the fact that there is such a lack of education is it's incumbent upon, first of all, us as parents and people who may have lived it, as well as the education system to do that. The movie is entertainment. It is meant to entertain. But in this instance, I appreciate the fact that it is stimulating this discussion. We can't expect, even in a two-hour span, a movie to really tell the story. It is telling a segment. It's trying to give us an oversight, an overview of what occurred. But I don't expect any movie to tell my history. I don't expect a movie to tell the history of the American Indian. I don't expect it to do that. If I want to really know who I am and what I am, it is incumbent upon me as an individual to educate myself. Where I see lack, I have to try to fill that void, that the education system, or work to make the education system do what it's supposed to do, educate people and not pacify them. So I think from that respect, I'm going to go see the movie because I'm interested in seeing how just seeing black people on the screen is going to be a thrill to me. And seeing them do something other than shoot and kill and whatever is going to be a wonderful experience. And so from that point of view, I think it accomplished a great deal. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Greeny.
Just want to say, and I got to run, but my colleague here at Morgan, Jared Bell, has pointed out, and it's true, one of the producers of this film was Lionsgate. And Lionsgate has said and gone on record as saying they want, quote, black films that will make white audiences feel good. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to lay that on you.
Clearly.
Well, let me lay something else on you. We know that from a Hollywood perspective, the ultimate goal for producing films is to make a profit.
Yeah.
So I am, understanding that, happy that a film comes out that does a little bit more than that. And as Mary just said in her conversation on the phone, it stimulated the thought. So if you want to do something, if you want to see a movie, what are your choices? I suggest you make the choice to
but
see
my issue
the butler,
then is,
as opposed to the rest of them.
Look, and my issue is, why are we always satisfied with this?
I didn't say satisfied.
Muddy water.
But with the muddy water.
I'm not satisfied.
Okay, but you gave it a 10. It sounds like satisfaction to me. My point is, if you're going to come at a movie like this and make it
is
really
good. Is
this
where we play the Rolling Stones?
But if you come at it and give it, you know, a good, well-focused point of view. I don't know if you read the Will Haygood article in the Washington Post,
A
Butler Well Served by This Election. Yeah,
right.
And the book. One of the interesting to me perspectives of the article that was written, and you know, it came out in 2008, just after Obama's election, mm-hmm. about him. One point that he made in the article that the actual Eugene Allen, who is the actual butler, said is that he noticed over the years how black folks were starting to get closer and closer to the seat of power. You know, starting with people who are in the administration or invited to speak or, you know, to the president. You know, when you had, E. Frederick Morrow, you know, who was a public relations executive before, and now mm-hmm. he got a position, and then Clifford Alexander, and then, you know, of course, then Colin Powell and Condoleezza, and you start to see this steady, slow progression of black people getting more and more access to the White House. But it was very complicated in that they had some access, but then didn't really have the power they thought they would have. And, you know, there was a whole lot of tension around that. That, to me, is interesting. If he was kind of observing that, and while in the backdrop there were all these other things going on, don't try to make that the center of the movie. You know, have a real perspective where you're starting to see that kind of progression, but fraught with all the complications that it came with.
Let me talk about satisfaction to my good buddy Carla Wills. Satisfaction is an evolutionary process. In the 30s, people were satisfied with Amos and Andy on TV because at least it represented some African American on the television presence.
Well, the 50s,
it was not something we should be satisfied with, but I guarantee you that generation that watched TV in the 30s were at least happy seeing somebody that looked like them on the television screen. That's totally we're totally dissatisfied with that now. So satisfaction is an evolutionary process.
Right. And so when you know better.
Let me finish now. Move from Amos and Ed, and then we get some more dignified. Nat King Cole, Sidney Poitier. We're coming up on to the butler. And it's a process and a progress. So I'm not satisfied, but I do see the historical progression. I gave it a 10 in light of who it's competing against in today's Hollywood theatrical presentation.
Let me get the phones here. 410-319-8888. Let's get two callers in a row here so we can get some thoughts on the air. Tyrone and Laurie. Tyrone, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I went to see the movie, and I enjoyed it for the acting and the stars that was in it. But, I mean, we went back and it's, you know, took us back in history a little bit. And it almost seemed like we haven't really progressed or come that far in history. I mean, because just looking at the Trayvon Martin case and how unfairly he was, that trial went. I mean, we haven't come that far at all. Just one comment on it.
Oh, right, glad.
One second. Let me just get a caller in here. 410-319-8888. And we'll come back to our guests in the studio. Laurie, you're on the air.
Good morning. I want to say I enjoyed the movie. I was not bothered by the Obama part of the movie. That was not my focus. My focus was on the story and the journey of the man. Having a uncle that worked for NBC with four presidents, he worked closely with four presidents. When I write this story, I'm writing of his journey as a son of a farmer, black, who grew up and back then it was RCA, it wasn't NBC. Started with RCA, NBC, worked with four presidents, covered Sadat. And when I look at the videos of him at the Carter family farm, Secret Servicemen playing baseball against the pressmen, the Carter family sitting there watching, then going to, in the field picking watermelons with the president. I'm looking at my uncle's journey. I'm not focusing on either president. So the focus of saying that, oh, it ended with Obama T-shirts and all this, I think we should have focused on the story of the man, and that's what I did.
All right, thank you so much. Comments, and then we'll try to get the colors in here before.
Well, I can appreciate that comment there. I want to say that the movie has stimulated thought right on this radio program as we're doing right now, and I think that's its value. Its value is that we have discussed what it lacks and what it contains, and as a result of that, we have further educated the public on what has not been depicted in Hollywood for a long time, and that is, what is the real history of this? And the name of the movie is The Butler. It's really the actual history of that butler. And we have Oprah Winfrey, we've got Robin Williams, we've got all these stars that were in this movie. It's going to bring a wide
sometimes
audience.
Miscast. I think almost every single president in this movie was just a joke as far as the casting.
Except but
I think Robin Williams did a good job.
Well, I don't know.
Alan Rickman did a great job, I thought.
He did a pretty good job. He sounded a little odd, but yeah, he looked the part. But what I felt like, you know, it was a story about the butler, but it wasn't a story about the butler. And that's why I just feel like the movie didn't hone in and really refine its focus. I think as a cinematic thing, it falls short. I think it definitely will work on television. And if this were a television movie, I think I'd probably have a different kind of take on it. But for the cinema, I think it fell a little short because, you know, it felt like the butler was kind of there, lost and adjacent to all the history that was going on around him, and he was kind of trying to figure out where he. But it didn't really write all that in, you know, where he really was trying to struggle to find his way through the
history. I would love to see what was on the cutting room floor.
If that kind of made it into the movie, if what I hope is on the cutting room floor made it into a movie, it may have been a better movie.
But I guess when just talk about it as a theatrical presentation, I thought all the acting was brilliant. I think
Oprah did a flawless job.
She did a great character job.
She was awesome.
And I thought that all the presence did a good job. I wasn't in favor of all of them. I thought Alan Rickman did a wonderful job. But not, having said that, what I really want to say is I think that the subtlety of the butler you saw through Forrest Whitaker's face and his reactions to events, watching television, seeing what his son really went through, the conflict. He's a great actor, so he internalized that, and I think that came out, his conflict. And I also think that was a very real conflict. There were a lot of people I knew in SNCC and the Civil Rights Movement. I'm talking about the African Americans in the Civil Rights Movement, black folks in the Civil Rights Movement, whose parents didn't want them there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They were just opposed to their being in this movement because of the danger of it for all kinds of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was like...
That's the best part of this movie.
That conflict was very real.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that...
And he articulated that. He said most African Americans have to have two faces, one for the white man and one for the rest of the African
American. And, of course, I appreciate that nod to Du Bois, you know, the two-ness, the duality mm-hmm. that he spoke of in The Souls of Black Folk. I mean, if you understand that, then you can appreciate what they were trying to do with that. But that is the strength, Mark, of this movie, that relationship between the father and the son and that, you know, dichotomy where, you know, the parents who weren't, you know, fans of their kids being involved, one, for safety reasons, and two, there were parents who just felt like, you know, particularly once you were just, you know, had something to lose, you had a good job, you had a house, you had, you know, so you know, you're trying to protect that too and, you know, kind of go along to get along. And looking at this man's history, he had to come from that because passivity was a tactic too. Passivity was a strategy. I mean, you're trying to stay alive, so you couldn't be but so combative.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you did it. So, and when you grow up in that kind of thing, you can't expect the butler, once his son, you know, is ready to go out and fight, to be all behind him. Mm-hmm. You know, he had his own trajectory and journey to get to the point where he says, oh, my son is not a criminal, he's a hero. When he got to that point in that realization, that's when he's like, oh, I can go out and support him after he quit his job and, you know, had this crisis of consciousness and kind of realization that, yeah, this president that I'm in here working for and serving is on the wrong side of history. So, it was nice to see that
but
evolution.
But eventually he advised the president, and the person I attended the movie with was questioning whether or not the the people would be believing that part of the
well,
movie.
Well, that was definitely some dramatic license, no question.
The whole movie was dramatic.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
I'm not minding that.
It was all fiction.
Yeah, it was fiction.
410-319-8888, final thought from a caller. Sterling, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you very much. Just very intriguing conversation.
We only have like a minute left. I'm sorry, but I just want to.
Very good. I think we were all of us expecting too much out of this movie, given the realities that black folk has had historically and continue to have in this country. We are literally back to Reconstruction, given the laws that's taking place in this country. Young black folk are being shot down every day. Now, having said that, I think the movie, I think the acting was excellent. I think there were some subtleties in that movie in terms of how black folk had to survive. I'm from South Carolina. I grew up during that time. And so there are subtleties of how black folk had and still and have to continue to how to outsmart white folk to survive in this country. It's still taking place today. Even though I went through all the civil rights marches in school and all of that, but there are still subtleties that happen. What this guy did, the butler did, he was very shrewd. He did a lot of things to take care of the people that he worked with and his family. Shows a lot of fiction in there. It was not all the reality, but I think it sent a real serious message about how we have to continue to be shrewd to go to the next level. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We have literally less than a minute left. Closing 10, 15-second thoughts.
Go see the movie. It is definitely worth my criticisms aside, and even in you know, considering them, I think everyone should see the movie. See the movie.
I would say the same thing. I recommend everybody see the movie and recognize the fact that there were simplicities expressed in the movie. We've gone from checkers to chess now, so we've got to play the game a little bit more shrewd.
And soon we'll maybe get to Go, which is more complex. So, the game of Go, I mean to say. But I would say go see the movie as well. I think it was well acted. There are a lot of issues politically that I think create discussions. I think these kind of discussions are important to have, that they stimulate. I have my own issues with Lee Daniels from some other levels, but I would recommend, go see this movie and wrestle with what you see.
Wrestle.
Wrestle with what you see.
And,
and remember, it's entertainment.
And do more
and it's
work.
It's entertainment and also incredible
and the
acting.
Music was good.
The music was great and acting was phenomenal.
And just let it be a beginning. Then go do more reading and do more work.
That's my buddy, Carl.
Don't leave it there.
We take a very short break. We come back. The Mark Steiner Show will pick up with our weekly series Soundbites on the future of our food system. Chickens. Don't go away.